اور شہید کربلا علی الاکبر اللہ علیہ صلوات. اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. لا حول ولا قوة الا بالله العلي العظيم. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ومولاي يا رسول الله. صلى الله عليك وعلى آل بيتك المعصومين. لعن الله الله الظالمين لكم من الأولين والآخرين. سيدي يا رسول الله. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله. صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله يا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة نجاة الأمة. ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمنا من التجأ إليكم. فيا ليتنا كنا معكم فنفوز فوزا عظيم. My tears fall for the son of Taha. My thought is lost in grief. I do not know whether to congratulate Imam Ali or to give him condolences on this night. For on the one hand, Ali al-Akbar waged a one-man war in Karbala. He fought their Bakr, he fought their Amr. He made Karbala another Badr. He made Karbala another Hunain. He called, O battles of my grandfather Ali, come back. However, Ali al-Akbar, on the other hand, I see when my Imam Hussein alayhi salam looks at him, I see my Imam crying in his eyes. My Imam Hussein alayhi salam calls, O days of Ali, come back. I wish that my son, Ya Ali al-Akbar, that you had lived after me. I wish, Ya Ali, you had lived after my death, so that you may lay my body in my grave, that you would follow my janaza, and that you would cry over me just like any son cries for his lost father. I cannot forget the women folk when they ran towards the body of Ali al-Akbar, Shaheed, son of Shaheed. One would kiss his injured head, another would kiss his rose face. Zainab tells Layla, O Layla, go back to crying, O Layla, for the best of youth and the bright moon of Al Muhammad. Ali al-Akbar, resemblance of the Holy Prophet, has come back to us, Shaheed. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل بيت محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون. For the reappearance and the hastening of the reappearance of our 12th Imam, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In the past few days, we had started to talk about one of the main messages that Imam Hussein alayhi salam bore vis-a-vis his uprising and his revolution. Our Imam alayhi salam said in that will that he gave to his brother Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya that I truly seek reform in the ummah of my grandfather Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. That we had talked about the meaning of the word reform. We had talked about that concept that is opposite to the word reform, the concept of corruption, al-fasad, and that these two are understood only when they go again with one another, just like top and bottom, for instance. We had mentioned the points of corruption, some of the general manifestations of corruption in the Muslim Ummah, and some of the general titles with regards to the Islah and the reform that Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to apply. And following that, in these past couple of days, we had started to practically, after, of course, again, point that I forgot to mention, after, of course, having looked at the reform of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, how it is placed according to the reforms of history, and we mentioned the fact that it was the highest and the pinnacle of all forms of reform. Thereafter, we started a couple of days ago when we were talking about our reform, how we can carry about and bring about reform. We started reform on the individual level, and thereafter we mentioned reform on the social level, which was yesterday. Thereafter, I would just like to mention a couple of reminders considering what we talked about yesterday. Number one, we said that as individuals in the society, especially in the Muslim nation, we should strive to carry out reconciliation, to reconcile between any two fighting parties in our society, whether that be individuals or more than individuals, parties. And we should not stay behind and just look as this conflict between them conspires, as it transpires. We should not just stand back. And if we find that one of them is doing so, is fighting with the other, and it is not on the truth, it's not on the right, haqq is not with it, we have to aid and assist that party which is oppressed. Number two, we mentioned that the second point that Imam Hussein alayhi salam so clearly pointed out again in his will, which was Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, this is the main criteria with which Allah Azza wa Jal has considered us the best of Ummah. That is to say, Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, which is one of the furu' ad-Din, this is something that we have to continuously apply in our society, and we should never forget it. It is wajib on each and every one of us. This is one of the main reasons for which the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam was spilled. Thereat, we bear and we shoulder that responsibility that the flame and the torch of this message, it remains, Amr ibn Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, it remains always kindled. Number three, we had mentioned that in the society there are some individuals who are strong in the general sense of the word, not only physically, and there are certain individuals who are weak, again in the general sense of the word. Among examples of people who are weak are orphans, because they can easily be prey to people with bad intentions. Thereat, we have to try and strive to take care of our orphans and the society and show them the compassion that is needed. We have to try and take care of them. Islah, like is mentioned in the verse that I mentioned yesterday. Number four, parents. You want your children tomorrow to respect you, to love you, to come to your needs, to be with you at your elderly age. You have to show the same respect and same compassion and love for your parents. Number five, in the society, it is natural that there are certain individuals who have influence, who have power, administrations, etc. When you as an individual or as groups, when you come and try to have counsel and to give counsel and advice to these people, Allah Azza wa Jal says that normal kinds of counsel or conversations or private conversations with these people, they do not have any good except if it is in three, with regards to three matters. Number one, sadaqah, charity, good cause. Number two, ma'ruf as well, a good cause. And number three, if it is with regards to islah, that is to say, to reconcile between two fighting parties. Six, we have to apply the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal in our lives continuously. We should never at all break and go against these rules. We have to abide by what is halal and what is haram. For instance, this restaurant, it serves alcohol, etc. There is another restaurant near it. Or let's say, for example, in that restaurant, alcohol is served on all tables. For a Muslim to go then into such a restaurant, it is not permitted, even if they may have the best kebabs. Number seven, we have to cooperate with each other, but not with regards to anything, with regards to those matters that are good, that are built on taqwa, and that are built on iman. Number eight, we also mentioned that one of the steps that Allah Azza wa Jal has taken vis-a-vis certain elements in the society who truly cause a lot of trouble, Allah Azza wa Jal has taken strict measures with regards to these people. In the Islamic society, in an Islamic country especially, there are certain laws that are put in place for such individuals. So when you are in such a society, Don't become compassionate. Don't let your compassion take you when laws are applied to such people. Because these laws have been put for the greater good. They have been put there even sometimes when they may seem harsh. For example, cutting the fingers of the person who steals. Of course, this as well has many conditions mentioned in books of fiqh. It's not that someone just stole, for example, something small. Okay, let's bring his hand, bring me the machete, let's just cut his hand off. No, it's not like that. It's not like ISIS, no. It has certain conditions. They have to be 1, 2, 3. These laws have been put in by not a normal person, ma'adallah, by someone who is actually the creator of the psychology of the human being, who knows how our psyche works. Thereat, when he has put these into place, he has put them for a certain reason, so that the salah and the goodness of the society comes about. Also, we mentioned that societies, they are filled more often than not by certain kinds of corruption, and that we also have to be really careful, attentive to them, so that we don't fall prey to them as well. And as a result as well, we should perform islah about that. Number one, we mentioned moral deviations, which in countries such as these, in the Western countries, there are as much as you can count, or more than we can count. We have to be extremely careful, especially with regards to our second, third generations. Number two, before the akhlaqi, it is the inhiraf and the deviation related to thoughts, principles, values that you may bear, your aqaid. We have to be extremely careful about these. It is incumbent upon a Muslim, let alone the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. That we have to be extremely strong with regards to our aqaid. Alhamdulillah, in our age today, there is a lot of material, a lot of literature that has been translated or even written directly into languages that we understand. We have to read up on our aqaid. It is extremely important. Any one of us should be able to prove what or how we can prove. We should know how to prove Allah Azza wa Jalla's existence. We should be able to prove, if asked by a non-Muslim, how can you prove to me that Allah Azza wa Jalla is just, or that there is a need for prophets, or that after the prophets ended, there was a need for the continuation of the Khilafah of Allah Azza wa Jalla in this earth by a representative with such and such qualities. Finally, we had deviation on the economical level, which we have to perform islah about in ourselves, in the society. That is to say that our sources of income, we should be extremely careful that these sources of income are halal. They don't have any shubha, any suspicion in them. Okay, Mawlana, you mentioned all of this. I left yesterday's lecture at an end when I asked a question, that is to say that, Wesh, if we have all of this, that is to say, if we have a book, the book that is the Holy Quran, it has all of these constitutions and all of these laws and legislations in them, all of these rulings, and the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. If we have all of this, is it enough? No, it's not enough. It was clear. We are in need of someone to apply that law. This is one of the responsibilities of a ma'soom, of the Holy Prophet and of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the Imams after them. This is one of their responsibilities. This, in essence, is one of the responsibilities of our ma'soomeen, in that if they are not there, look at any society that only has laws but that does not have anyone to enforce that law. You do not have any law enforcement. Do you think that such a society would continue in bliss and in happiness? No. You would find that such a society will be filled with disorder and corruption. Truly. So the stronger that you have law enforcement, the better that society will be. The more adl and truth and justice will be applied in that society. Thereat, we come to the final level of islah. that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was seeking to apply, which is on the political level. Islah on the political level, it is based on two main foundations. Number one, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى. That is to say, there shall be no compulsion in the acceptance of religion. The right course has become clear from Allah. So whoever disbelieves in the taghut, in the oppressors, then that person has believed in Allah Azza wa Jal and grasped the most trustworthy of handhold with that does not break. So, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he was pointing to this when he was saying that Yazid is a corrupt person. He mentioned all of some of the traits of Yazid, and that he would not give bay'ah to that person. That the likes of me, the Imam is saying, the likes of me can never give bay'ah to the likes of him. Imam alayhi salam was pointing out to this fact that this person is a taghut. This person is an oppressor. One then, the first main foundation of Islah on the political level, then is this, that tyrants have to be removed, and this is from the society. Only then can you achieve political reform. If you are not able to do that, to oust your tyrant, then do not aid him. This word that Allah Azza wa Jal has used is extremely, extremely accurate in its place. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. Right? Whoever disbelieves. One of the connotations that we can't understand is that in your heart and in your mind, you know that that person is such and such. Don't come and defend him. I remember once, I saw a person from Iraq. It was one of my colleagues. And at that point, we remember the situation in Iraq and what the ousted dictator used to do. So many of our ulama being killed. Such grand personalities like Ayatollah Muhammad Baqir Sadr, rahmatullah alayh. And we remembered also the war that happened between Iran and Iraq. So many people were martyred. So this guy, even though one of his relatives was also, lost during this war, said, no, I don't accept for anyone to criticize that person. Why? Because he's the president of my country. Are you a Muslim, brother? Are you a Muslim? Do you read the Holy Quran? This is from Ayatul Kursi that maybe everyone should know, especially if you speak Arabic. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. You have to disbelieve in him. He was a taghut. This is an example. This is something that we should have in ourselves. This is the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I want to mention it really clearly. This is the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Number two, okay, Mawlana, if we have to disbelieve in them, this is politics, this is on the political level. It is obvious that we have to follow someone. Yes, you're right. One of the facets or the manifestations of the authority of a ma'soom, of an infallible, is on this level. It's on the political level. We have to follow Rabbaniyun. Rabbaniyun, those God-fearing people who have those qualities. The known qualities, infallibility, etc., etc. They work according to the interest, according to the maslaha. So we have this. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran with regards to whom we should follow. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah Al-Nisa. أطيعوا الله ورسوله وأولي الأمر منكم. Alhamdulillah, everyone knows this ayah. You who have believed, obey Allah Azza wa Jal and obey the Messenger and those in authority among you. Those in authority among you, one of the examples of those in authority among you, of the 12 Imams alayhim as-salam, is the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah 55. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا والذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون. with regards to Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. That is to say, your ally, your wali, your guardian is none but Allah Azza wa Jal, and thereafter His Messenger, and thereafter those who have believed, those and who establish prayer and give zakat while they are in ruku'ah, while they are bowing. So when these two foundations are found in the political level, as well as Imam Hussein alayhi salam was trying to apply in his message, in his uprising, only then can the ayah that followed the bay'ah of Ghadir be understood. That is to say, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa raditum lakum al-Islama. That this day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor over you. This is what Imam Hussein alayhi salam was trying to achieve. This. It was not only during the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alim. It was not only during his time after Imam alayhi salam was given the bay'ah in Ghadir. No. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was trying to apply this again. There are then today, Mawlana. Okay, alhamdulillah, that was a big hope that Imam Hussein alayhi salam would have tried to, if had been he be able to achieve that goal. Today, let's say we want to carry out Islah. Islah today on this level, it cannot be complete except if we have people, if we have the representatives of our imam to follow. In other words, we have to follow them if we want to try and carry out this kind of reform. We have to follow them, we have to follow their messages, what they say, what we have to do. And any other kind of reform that is called, let's say, by any group in the society, by, let's say, for example, a political group or etc., this is always going to be insufficient, because neither the Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are taught, nor are they applied and enforced by an infallible authority or the representative of that infallible authority. So any Islah is always going to remain insufficient and have deficiencies. Until when, Mawlana? Until when? That is the golden question. Allah Azza wa Jal has promised us that I have not given you all of these messages and the science of how to have Islah in a proper society in this earth, except that one day I will give you that. When our 12th Imam Ajalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. When he reappears. When our 12th Imam, Ajallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, when he reappears. With that then, let us look at the Holy Quran about this. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِي الصَّالِحُونَ وَإِنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِي الصَّالِحُونَ. And we have written in the book of Psalms, the Zabur, after the previous mentioned that the land is going to be inherited by my righteous servants. This in many of our narrations is with reference to our Imam, our Ghaib Imam. May Allah Azza wa Jal hasten his reappearance. Okay, Mawlana, now you've mentioned this. You've talked about reform and we talked about some of the details about this matter. However, let us look at the reformer a little bit, the one who was carrying out this reform. Our Imam alayhi salam, why did he choose to uprise? Now it should have become clear. He wanted to remove the taghut and he wanted to bring back power to him who it belongs to, the rightful authority, and he wanted to apply the messages of Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, and this was again his final confrontation with Yazid, just like the final confrontations of the reformers before him, like Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, Nabi Ibrahim, Nabi Musa, Nabi Isa, like they were happening with those people with Pharaoh, with Namrud, etc., etc. This was his final confrontation with Yazid. The Imam wanted to carry out this military operation so that he could gain authority back. However, Allah Azza wa Jal's will was something else. Allah Azza wa Jal wanted something else from the Imam. On the one hand, Allah Azza wa Jal saw the sincerity and the niyyah of our Imam. Allah Azza wa Jal saw the sincerity and the niyyah of our Imam and the companions who were with them, with the Imam, and he wanted to give them an even higher ranking that they would deserve. They were doing Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar and Jihad. They were doing it. Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to accept their amal, and on the other hand, he wanted to see them how much sincerity they had. So it was also imtihan for them as well, to show how much sincerity they truly had. And alhamdulillah, it was the best of results. Their blood is the reason for the continuity and why that message of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam has reached us till today. That blood is the fuel that is going to be kindling one year after another, one decade and one century after another, keeping that message of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam alive. In order to understand now, okay, Mawlana, you've talked about the reformer Imam Hussein alayhi salam and why he wanted to carry that out. Okay, in order for anyone of us to understand the grandness of the sacrifice that was made by the people, considering the people who were slaughtered and butchered, we have to see who that person truly was. We have to try and find out about some of their traits. If me and you today, if we give sadaqah to help a person, for example, you could give a few dollars. Maybe that's it. No, on another level, let's say for example, your situation is dire. You are in need. Regardless of that fact, you put a larger amount. Let's say for example, your monthly wage, an entire month's wage, put them in an envelope, put them for sadaqah, put them for a good cause. That sadaqah is bigger. Okay, let us see the person who gave that sadaqah of himself and of his family. But first, let us recite Allah Salawat. Our Imam, who was he? What kind of sadaqah? Or what quality of sadaqah did he give? Or what quality of sadaqah was he himself? What perfections did he have? Who was he to Allah Azza wa Jal? In order to understand concerning some of the perfections, we cannot comprehend all of the perfections of our Imam, because this is something that is higher than the level of people of our like. This is something even higher. We cannot. However, let us try to look at some of the perfections. For this cause, I have chosen Ziyarat Warith. Among the Ziyarat, this ziyara, it shows some of the perfections and the metaphysical or mystical qualities that Imam Hussein alayhi salam inherited from his predecessors, starting from Nabi Adam alayhi salam. In this ziyarat, I'll recite it in Arabic. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alayka ya waritha Adam as-safwatillah. Peace be upon you, O inheritor of Adam, the choice of Allah. Assalamu alayka ya waritha Nuh al-Nabiyyillah. Peace be upon you, O inheritor Nuh, the prophet of Allah. Assalamu alayka ya waritha Ibrahim khalilillah. Peace be upon you, O inheritor of Ibrahim, the intimate friend of Allah. Assalamu alayka ya waritha Musa kalimillah. Peace be upon you, O inheritor of Musa, the person to whom Allah spoke. Assalamu alayka ya waritha Isa ruhillah. Peace be upon you, O inheritor of Isa, the spirit of Allah Azza wa Jal. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Muhammad al-Nabi, Habib Allah. Peace be upon you. O inheritor of Muhammad, the beloved of Allah. And finally, as-salamu alayka ya waritha Amir al-Mu'mineen, ya waritha Amir al-Mu'mineen, Wali Allah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Peace be upon you, O inheritor of the commander of the faithful, the divine servant of the divine, Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. Today I would like to start off with a short introduction, with a short introduction to this topic. And inshallah tomorrow I will start with each and every one of the phrases inshallah until the end of our majalis. Our Imam alayhi salam, he received many qualities and inherited many qualities. This ziyarat, we have some of them, maybe some of the main ones of these main qualities that are mentioned that he inherited. If you see, and if you want to know what these were from this ziyarat, each and every one of these personalities has had a laqab and a title mentioned after their name. And this title in its essence is actually an, it is a reference, it is a signal, a sign, considering what kind of specific quality Imam has inherited from that personality. Now, in order to be able to understand these perfections, we have to look a little bit into the history of these people. Now, considering the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, for instance, or Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, we did not have written history during that time. So, thereat, we have to refer to the most immaculate source of history that we know, which is the Holy Quran. So thereat, about these personalities, we will look into their stories and derive these perfections from the Holy Quran itself. In consideration with regards to this, one question may be asked. We're still in the introduction. Mawlana, Imam Hussein alayhi salam inherited all of these matters. But what about the rest of the Imams? Yes, the rest of the Imams alayhi salam also inherited these qualities. However, some of our philosophers say that the wujud and the light of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in this dunya was more so because of the huge and immense sacrifice that he gave. A special maqam and rank for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In one instance, one of our Imams, if I'm not mistaken, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, one of the companions comes to our Imam and he asks the Imam, "O Imam, we say about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, safinatun najat, the ark of salvation, ark of salvation. Are you not all arks of salvation?" He says, "Yes, we are." ولكن سفينة الحسين أسرع في لجة البحر. That is to say, the ark of Hussein is faster in the torrential waves of the sea. That is the ark of salvation of our Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Our Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there is a parable or a saying about him, which is that Islam is Muhammadi al-Huduth and Husayni al-Baqa. That is to say, the coming and the advent of Islam is Muhammadi, and the remaining of Islam and its continuation is Husayni. If we stop at this saying a little bit and try to analyze it philosophically, in philosophy, there is a principle which says that the cause of something to come into existence, it is the same as the cause of its continuity, of its continuance. If the sun right now, if you go outside, let's say the sun is shining and say it's daylight. The coming of the daylight into existence in the first instance, in the beginning, which is the sun, the cause of that light is the sun,
This is the same cause for the light to remain till the end of the day. It is the same. We were created by Allah Azza wa Jal from His own existence. We were created by Allah Azza wa Jal. Our remaining today and being present and existent today is also from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is reference to one of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, one of the qualities of Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Fayyad, that is to say He continually gives and continually gives existence. He has created you in the beginning, but He also continues your existence from Himself. So this is the same. If Islam, it was Muhammadi in its advent, in its starting, in its rise, how can it be Husayni in its continuity, in its continuance? That is because of the fact that our Holy Prophet says, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. That is to say, Husayn is from me and I am from Husayn. We are one. The light of our Holy Prophet in the Barzakh al-Nuzuli, that is to say, the first Barzakh, not the Barzakh that we will go to after our death. The first Barzakh, that line that maybe some people may call Alam al-Dhar, or even before that, the world of the lights. The lights of our Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, our Imams, is one. It's called Al-Haqiqa al-Muhammadiyya, the Muhammadi reality. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is part of that nur. Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam, she's part of that nur. Amir al-Mu'mineen, our Imams, the 12th Imam, all of them part of the same nur. This same nur, it applies over here. So, the essence is the same, the perfections are the same. The message is the same, the application is the same. Practically, if we had in the situation of Karbala our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he would also have done the same thing. If Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was there, he would have taken the same step. If our 12th Imam Ajallahu ta'ala Farajul Sharif was there, the same thing would have been done. He would have done the same thing, just like our Imam alayhi salam. Thereat then we can understand the reality and the message was the same. Our Imam says that I want to carry out reform where? In the ummah of my grandfather. Of my grandfather. I'm following the same message, the same steps, the same ahkam. Our Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he reached in Karbala. In Karbala, after our Imams, Ashab, and companions were all martyred, none remained except my Imams Ahlul Bayt, except his family. They started to come to the Imam seeking his permission. The first one of them to come to my Imam alayhi salam was Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, the son of my Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who was known to have the brightest of faces, the most handsome of youth. When Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam comes to my Imam Hussein seeking permission to go to the battlefield, my Imam Hussein alayhi salam starts to weep. He turns his head, he turns his face to the sky. He prays to Allah Azza wa Jal and says, O Allah, bear witness against these people that a man who looks most like your messenger in his physique, manners, and eloquence has come out to fight them. Whenever we miss seeing your prophet, we would look at him, O Allah. Deprive them of the blessings of the earth. When Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam listens to this dua, he understands that the Imam has given him permission. Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, he climbs his horse and he starts to go to the battlefield. But how How does he go? What does Imam Hussein alayhi salam do? He walks behind him step by step. Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam looks to my Imam and he says, "Oh Imam, oh father, why are you following me to the battlefield?" Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Oh my son, if you had a son like yourself, you would know why." Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam goes to the battlefield and he starts to recite poetry. He tells them, "I am Ali, son of Hussein, son of Ali. We by the Lord of the Kaaba are more worthy of the Nabi. By Allah, we will never be ruled by the Da'i. With the sword shall I defend my family, and I will strike like a young youth, Hashimi Alawi." Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as he saw Ali al-Akbar fighting, he could not help his tears. Ali al-Akbar fought bravely and he killed many. Some say he killed 120 of those mala'in. Then it is narrated that a soldier came to face Ali al-Akbar. The Imam saw and he feared that he may harm Ali al-Akbar. It is narrated that my Imam goes to Layla. He tells her, "Oh Layla, I have heard the Holy Prophet saying that the dua of the mother is accepted for her children. Oh Layla, pray so that he may come back safely." She goes to her tent, faces the sky and prays, "Oh Allah, by the ghurba and loneliness of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, by the thirst of my Imam Hussein, O one who returned Yusuf to Yaqub, send me back my son Ali safely, Ya Allah." And she falls unconscious. All of a sudden my Imam sees Ali al-Akbar coming back. Ali al-Akbar goes to her tent, she sees her unconscious. He sees her and he cries, his tears fall on her cheek. She awakens, "Oh my son Ali." She embraces Ali with her heart. Imam Hussein alayhi salam then tells Ali al-Akbar to bid farewell. To bid farewell to his aunt Zainab. Ali al-Akbar tells his father, "Ya Ali, oh my father, I am really thirsty. Thirst has killed me, oh my father, and the heaviness of the iron has made me tired. Can I drink some water so that I can fight?" Imam Hussein alayhi salam shows him his tongue. Ali al-Akbar says, "I saw it. It was like stiff wood. There was no water." Imam Hussein tells him, "Oh my son Ali, you will soon be in the presence of your grandfather, who will give you to drink from a cup from which you will never go thirsty after that." He bids him farewell. Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam goes to the battlefield. He fights bravely on the right and on the left. And then one of the mala'in, Murra ibn Munqidh al-Abdi, he comes and faces Ali al-Akbar. He strikes him with a spear in his back. Wa wayla wa aliyya. He strikes him with a sword on his head. Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam clings onto his horse. His horse takes him to the enemy camp. The enemies, they start to strike him. Ali al-Akbar is cut into pieces. In that final instance in his life, he cries to his father, "Oh, my father, come and help me. This is my grandfather. He has given me to drink from his cup. And he says there is a cup waiting for you." Imam Hussein alayhi salam charges. He throws himself on Ali al-Akbar. What is the situation of Ali al-Akbar? He calls Banu Hashim to come and take Ali al-Akbar. But how do they come and take him? They bring a sheet of cloth with them and they gather his pieces. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل بيت محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين يا الله أو الله. With the riot of Ali al-Akbar and Shuhada Karbala, O Allah, hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, Ya Allah. O Allah, help us in applying the message of Islah of our Imam Hussein, Ya Allah. O Allah, forgive our sins, Ya Allah. O Allah, accept our amal and fulfill our hajat, Ya Allah. O Allah, those of us who have problems, O Allah, solve those problems for them, Ya Allah. Allah, all the Shias and the Muslims and the oppressed ones Allah, around the world, O Allah, aid them in their oppression, Ya Allah. O Allah, grant us your proximity, Ya Allah. O Allah, protect our maraja, especially in these days, in these tough days, Ya Allah. O Allah, the founders and the organizers of these majalis and those people who are carrying out tabarruk, O Allah, accept their amal, Ya Allah. O Allah, the thawab of what you recited with Surah Al-Fatiha, send the thawab to our marhumin along with the last salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.